Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Hour number two of the program, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Monday afternoon as we are here with you for another hour until around 7 o'clock this evening. We have had a tremendous first hour of the show. Now we are on to hour number two. As we were just jokingly talking about towards the end of the first segment, man, we're tired of the heat. I am. But you know what? There is a place here in New England where the heat will only increase. And I'm not only just talking in terms of the temperature, but I'm talking in terms of the expectation and as well as the noise. Because one thing that I've come to realize, and I really have had some time to think about this, and I talked about this over the weekend, but it's really worth revisiting again, because there was a tweet that I saw from Mike Rice of ESPN, the Patriots reporter for ESPN, that I thought that it was truly damning in every single way. And I'm going to read to you what that tweet was. Because if anything else, this confirms exactly what I've been feeling. So Mike Rice of ESPN, he tweeted out, quote, "A thought after watching the Patriots' offense look efficient in 7-on-7, but struggle notably in multiple 11-on-11s, might be time to give Dante Scarnecchia a call for an independent evaluation." Oof. Yikes. When you have to talk about calling a legend who is supposed to be enjoying retirement, that's not a good sign at all. When Dante Scarnecchia was the best thing you had for your offensive line, for them to play at a high level, and you don't have that no more, and your offensive line is struggling mightily, not good. Not good at all. Because when I was thinking about this earlier, and I really had to really just pause for a thought, why are the Patriots struggling right now the way that they're struggling offensively? And there's a lot of different reasons you could point to. Is it the receivers? Is it the offensive line? Is it Mac Jones? Is it a combination of factors? Or is it all pointed back at one person who absolutely refuses to budge and evolve from his ways, which is only about to pay a pretty steep price for in a matter of time? Let's go back to that tweet. Because there is a saying that my mom and my dad used to say when I was a kid. My mom used to say this all the time. A hard head makes a soft ass. How many of you have heard that saying when you were kids? Raise your hand or nod silently in agreement. You have. See, I talked about this in terms of Bill Belichick for the longest of time. When you begin to think that you are too smart for it all, you too cool for school, you become the biggest fool. When you think you too cool for school, you become the biggest fool. Bill Belichick right now is becoming the biggest fool of them all down in Foxborough. Because how much longer can you continue to be persistent in wanting to do things your way, only to realize that when you don't replace what you take out, you are left barren? Losing Shaq Mason was the beginning of your troubles. I'm not saying that if Shaq Mason were to walk through those doors at Gillette Stadium tomorrow, that everything will be A-OK in the neighborhood again. No. But would it have helped at least to have that kind of continuity on the offensive line? Sure. But my criticism is not with the offensive line, truthfully. Because the offensive line, in the reports that I have read and heard today, the offensive line is pretty damn frustrated, and I don't blame them one freaking bit. Because how the hell is it that you manage to tell yourself and convince yourself, well, perhaps we just don't have anything to worry about. I've always have had an answer. We've always figured it out. We got this under control. Right now, I don't see how you're not concerned. Something doesn't add up here. Let me break it down to you this way. If you had a 70-year-old boss who puts his kids on the staff, not having had any sort of experience in the NFL, nor did they had to prove their worth to earn their stripes, and now suddenly you also, in addition to that, you go out and you add two men who were failed head coaches, one of whom has no experience coaching offense whatsoever, thinking that you could turn chicken stew out of chicken soup, thinking that it's going to work. It's been a failure. It's been an abject failure so far. And we haven't even played a single preseason game, which, by the way, is coming up in 72 hours. So how the hell is it that anybody in their right mind, you got folks like Greg Bedard, Mike Reese, and a bunch of other Patriots reporters down at Foxborough basically going on TV or on air locally, screaming their heads off like, this is not working, but yet you're still convinced that everything is going to continue to work out and be just A-OK. It's not working. It's not working. And I'm sure Robert Kraft is watching all of this unfold, saying to himself, what the bleeping hell am I watching? Because if they're struggling with this now, and they haven't even faced off against a real opponent yet, oh my God. I don't want to hear a goddamn thing come September when you got the first four games of your season in which that you're going to have face up against real competition. Don't give me the absolute bull crap about, well, the first couple of weeks of the regular season is typically an extended preseason. Nonsense, because you're seeing the proof right in front of your very own eyes and you don't want to acknowledge it. What Bill Belichick is doing is not working. It's not working. When you have Greg Bedard, and I'm sure a lot of you listen to Felger and Mass, a lot of you listen to the Patriots covers during the regular season on the Sports Hub, et cetera, et cetera. He has been big on run blocking from the offensive line. When you can't block up in front, everything else falls apart. Everything else. This has got nothing to do with dumbing down the offense, which, for Pete's sake, I don't even get how the hell did Bill Belichick come to the conclusion that, well, we could try to run the same offense or close to it that we ran last year, despite not having the some of the same personnel that you did last year, thinking that it was all going to work. I don't see it. I mean, my gosh. The first 4 weeks of your season, man, let me tell you this right now. You got the Dolphins, you got the Steelers, you got the Ravens, and you got the Packers in week four. If this continues into the regular season, the first month of the regular season, I got news for you. It's going to be a long year. Because if your franchise quarterback can't stay upright, then I'll tell you what. When you're going up against defenses like Miami, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Green Bay, who I all expect to be in the top 10 in the NFL this year in terms of total defense, you're in a world of trouble. You're in a world of trouble. Because I cannot fathom for the life of me how the Patriots are going to find themselves coming to some sort of a conclusion and finding a solution as to, oh, they'll just change the offense. Just easy. Throw everything out and just install a new system. Easy peasy. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You can call into the program if you have any concerns in regards to the New England Patriots 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. As I'm fired up and I'm aggravated, because everything that I'm reading on Twitter, the social media, the web clips and so forth, has the Patriots pointing down in regards to, is this team going to be okay? Because again, for Mike Reese to come out and tweet what he tweeted, and I'm going to read to you again that tweet, what he said. A thought after watching the Patriots' offense look efficient in 7-on-7s but struggle notably in multiple 11-on-11s, might be time to give Dante Scarnecchia a call for an independent evaluation. If that's not a damning tweet, then I don't know what is. You want to call a guy who is, what, 72, 73-plus years old in retirement out for some sort of evaluation or, hey, I need your advice? Just admit it. You're not in a good place. Everybody sees it. And then on top of that, you know how sometimes where Bill Belichick gets pressed by members of the media about why did he do this or why did he do that? You know what you notice so far during this training camp? There is not much fighting back. There's not much stubbornness or resistance because he knows it's absolute dog crap out there. What they have all seen and what's being reported out there, the Patriots, offensively, they look like dog crap. So he's not going to try to play this game. I would hope that he continues to be at least forthright and acknowledging that, hey, your machine isn't working. Maybe it's time to do a real review as to what you're doing and recognizing what you're doing isn't working. Or did you come to the point where you just don't give a rat's ass anymore? Because that could be also it too. Because I can't remember a time in which Bill Belichick has never been more apparently wrong, yet has the stubbornness to continue along the path of being wrong, and pridefully so. I can't remember a time like this. If you have thoughts, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As we are going to take another music break. Coming up next, is it time for one particular team to ask the tough questions? Because I'm there. I'm 100% there. I'm going to tell you exactly who and what I'm talking about coming up next here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Sunt voinic, dar să știi, nu-ți cernimic. Vrei să pleci, dar numai ei.
Să-ți spun ce simt acum. Alo, iubirea mea, sunt eu, fericirea. Alo, alo, sunt iarăși eu. Picasso, ți-am dat beat și sunt voinic, dar să știi, nu-ți cer nimic.
Vrei să pleci, dar numai ei. Numai ei. Numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mi-amintesc de ochii tăi ei. Vrei să pleci, dar numai ei. Numai ei. Numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mi-amintesc de ochii tăi ei.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tush, Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Your number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We have had quite an eventful show so far. Bruins first hour dominated. Your phone calls have added a lot of flavor and pop to the show, so thank you for those who have tuned in and have called into the show. Sincerely appreciate it as always. And those who follow me on Twitter, which, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Shukri Wright. That's at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. That's at Shukri Wright. That's how you can follow me on Twitter. You can also follow me on TikTok at Shukri Writes as well, same thing. At SHUKRIWRIGHTS, as I was just reminded of a major news story that I did hear about earlier today, but I will talk about at some point a little later on. So, man, in sports, we see some wacky things. We see some things that just leaves you thinking. Have they lost their freaking minds? Because there are times in which that you hear or you read stories and you're just scouring the internet and you're just like, are you serious? Are you dead for real? Like, I was going to use a different word, but not entirely sure you could say it on the radio, but you get what I'm saying. So one story in particular that I did come across, and I saw this on Twitter earlier today, and it was Barstool Sports that tweeted this out. It was the video of the Washington Commanders basically dancing in practice. Like, have you lost your freaking mind? Not the Washington Commanders, but to that individual at Barstool Sports who tweeted that out. Have you lost your mind? Because I like to understand for the life of me, how and why is that even a story? Like, can we for one moment stop pretending that having fun in practice while you're at work is a bad thing? Because if there is one thing that I do believe that rings to be true, if you're not having fun doing what you do for a living, then you are in the wrong profession. These are grown men that are in the NFL, and they're having a dance off. I believe they were practicing a certain particular dance that a college fraternity used to do or still does to this day. I'm not entirely well versed in terms of like college frats and so forth, so please pardon me for my ignorance. But I do wonder, what was the intent of that whole thing? Because you see, I tweeted this out earlier today, and I said, you know, paraphrasing, heaven forbid that they have fun. Like, it blows my mind, and I mean this sincerely. Like, I am absolutely amazed how grown men dancing in practice gets ridiculed. The Washington Commanders, who I think they are among the most downtrodden franchises in sports, in all of professional sports. A moment of lighthearted activity becomes a source of ridicule. I don't get it. Like, I'm sorry, if I got up right now and start doing the shimmy in the radio studio, I mean, obviously we're on radio, so you can't see me. It just becomes this whole other thing of, well, what are you doing? Why are you dancing? Like, How dare you? Like, shut up. Like, are you that miserable? Are you that, like, are you that just pathetic that you're worrying about two grown men dancing off in practice? I'm sorry. Like, did they particularly come over to your house, defecate on your bed, rub their balls on your face? Did they pee in your cornflakes today? Because I can go on and on and on. Like, I think that social media has allowed too many people to absolutely nitpick at the smallest of things. One in which that it wasn't even that serious. Like, I was just amazed at just the sheer stupidity in all of this. Huh. I'm going to pull up the tweet because I can't believe that I even came across this earlier. So this was from earlier today around 11:42 a.m. Let's check in on the Commanders practice today. And there is a TikTok. It's a TikTok video, apparently. One of the players did a bouncing split, like basically switching sides and whatnot. And the subtitle in the TikTok video basically says exactly why the Commanders can't win. Why? Because they're dancing in practice and having fun? and they're laughing, and a group of guys are all laughing, enjoying each other? Or is it the fact that the Commanders haven't won anything in so damn long that they totally forgot that you can't have fun while you train? Because the last time I checked, I don't think the Commanders are the only team in the NFL who has done this. I'm pretty sure all teams across the NFL do it, including the Patriots. And we all know how buttoned up the Patriots are. But the fact that this is even a story was like, really? We are wasting our time on this. Hilarious. If you have any thoughts on what I just talked about, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I don't know why, but I just remembered that I turned off my AC before I left the house. And with that thought, I immediately said to myself, Lord, please, I hope that my apartment does not become one sort of hot box. Because there's one thing that I've learned about my apartment is that, like, when it's warm, it's really warm. And that's great, especially come the winter when the temperature really drops. And I remember from this past winter when I first moved into my apartment last December that how cold it was outside. But I have a radiator, so I'm just grateful that I didn't have to worry about heat or my apartment being cold. But now that it's summer, and I typically leave the AC on in my apartment, and I turned it off earlier today, and I was just like, oh, man. I know today went into the mid-90s, so I'm just like, Lord, please, I hope it doesn't take too long for my house to cool down once I get in the house and turn on the AC, because I really need some chill in my life right about now. But that's neither here nor there. Have you ever, like, left your house thinking, I sure hope my house is really cool or it's really warm when I get in? Especially when you're in, like, summer and winter, where you're in, like, in the middle of a heat wave, or you're in the middle of a bitter cold front. And you're just like, I hope that my apartment is either warm or it's really, like, cool or chill. Yeah. That's been me. That's been me. Like, this has been so, so arduous in terms of the heat wave that I, for one, have reached a point where I'm like, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. Just give me low 80s, high 70s, and I'll be a happy camper at this point. But you know what the irony is, right? When we get to, like, late October, early November, you're going to start to miss those mid-80s, early 90s type feeling. I know I am. But I also will say this, though. See, it's one thing to get, like high 90s and whatnot, like when it's like a couple of days, like here and there. But it's another thing to get it, like, during a stretch where it's like, whoo, Lord have mercy. Sheesh. Like, it's been unbelievable. I'm going to look at the weather real quick, because I'm at a point where, like, I really would like to, you know, not feel like I'm going to die of, like, of this extreme heat. Oh, yeah, today's high was 97. And, oh, by the way, tomorrow's high is going to be what, 96? Oh, yeah. So earlier, I got a notification from WBZ Channel 4 saying that, hey, relief is on the way, but it won't come till Wednesday. Good Lord. Wednesday's high is 76. I am of those who are like, essentially, all right, enough is enough. I'm ready for the cooler weather. I really am. Because after Wednesday, or actually after tomorrow, Wednesday is going to be 76. Thursday is going to be 80. Friday is going to be 78. Saturday is going to be 77. Sunday is going to be 84. Next week, Monday, is going to be 83. Next week, Tuesday, is going to be 82. Next week, Wednesday, is going to be 81. So basically, the heat wave ends tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I, for one, I like some cooler weather, please. Give me like high 70s with the morning being a bit chilly. I'm looking forward to it. I'm serious. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the days of waking up in the morning, God willing, throwing on a hoodie and still being able to rock a pair of shorts. That's my kind of weather. That's my kind of laid-back outfit. You get what I'm saying? If you agree with me, just give me a call and let's talk about it. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. But you know what? I'm not wishing the summer away. I'm just tired of this heat wave. And I know I've been constantly groaning and complaining about it over the last 3 days, going back to Saturday when I was on the air and whatnot. But I'm at that point where, listen, enough is enough. But you know what? Thank you, God, for everything. And I mean that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But still, I can do without the heat. That reminds me. I'm hoping that around like Labor Day weekend, I'd be able to take a trip down to the Cape. And, you know, visit my friends one last time before summer unofficially ends. Type of deal. Yeah. That's kind of like my big hope right about now. Because I haven't been to the Cape at all this summer yet. And I've gone now, I would say, yeah, two straight summers. Going back to 2020 and 2021. This year, I haven't gone yet. I got to change that up. Oh, man. Looks like we've hit a break. And we are going to take a music break here, ladies and gentlemen. Because coming up next, there was some major news that broke today that I want to talk about at length and what this potentially could mean moving forward. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is coming up next here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
688 to 9010-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzzed driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzzed driving, because buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. What a show it has been so far. It's been pretty eventful, to say the least. Phone calls on the first hour, second hour. It's been a bit more intense. Basically, really questioning the sanity of Bill Belichick. And last segment was probably one of the more weirder segments that I've done in radio. But I said, you know what? Sometimes you just got to have fun and just, you know, let your personality out a little bit. You know, you can't be this button-up guy all the time like, I need to be uptight and so serious and all just stick to sports. You know, like, no. Like, talk about what you want to talk about. Have fun with it. You know, let people get to hear and enjoy you. That's what this is all about, you know? So, with all that being said, there was one guy that comes to mind for me as someone who was never afraid to show his personality, never afraid to be his true self. And it truly is a damn shame and sad that after this season, we won't hear him anymore. And that is the Hall of Famer and Red Sox broadcaster Dennis Eckersley of NESN. I teased this particular big news during the last segment because I couldn't let this entire show go by without talking about some of the hot button topics of this particular day. And it's really been an eventful day in the city of Boston and as well as Boston sports and Boston sports media. And Dennis Eckersley leaving is a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. I mean, this is someone who has been part of NESN, has been with NESN for 20 years. And there was a time where, and I got this from Red Sox fans who would tell me that when Don Orsillo was here, Jerry Remy, the late Jerry Remy, was still alive doing the games, and Dennis Eckersley, when all three of them were in the booth, that it truly was one of the most magical broadcast booths that you can find anywhere in the major leagues. It truly was. I had the privilege of watching all three of those men, you know, call games whenever those games would air on MLB Network, and I would enjoy it. You know, Dennis Eckersley is really one of the last true throwback personalities in sports broadcasting as an analyst where he wasn't going to shy away from his opinion. And you know what's funny? I've noticed this a lot where broadcasters that are new, they are afraid. They're afraid to say their opinions of umpires or managers or coaches because, oh, I know them or I competed against them. So I had a pretty decent relationship with them. Dennis Eckersley didn't give a damn whether that was your best friend or whether if that was someone that he had a pretty good relationship with. He was there to call a game. That was his job. His job was to tell you exactly what he was thinking, how he honestly felt at that particular moment in time. Some people appreciated it. Some people didn't. Most notably, David Price. I'm sure we all remember back in 2017, that whole incident on the Red Sox airplane. where basically David Price basically humiliated Dennis Eckersley, because Dennis Eckersley was being brutally honest on one of the broadcasts in which that Eckersley was calling the game that David Price had started. He couldn't handle it. But it goes to show you that, for me, if you can't move the thread or move the needle a bit, especially in this business, then you're not doing your job right. Like, you have to be fearless when it comes to shaking things up a bit. You have to be fearless when it comes to being able to tell it like it is and tell the audience how you're exactly feeling, how you're feeling. Because at the end of the day, I'm not here for you to agree with everything that I say. You don't have to. That's great. You don't agree? All right, fine. Why don't you agree? You don't like what I said? Why? Why don't you like what I just said? And let's have a discussion about it. Instead of melting into a big puddle that is today's society, in which that we can't handle disagreements, we can't handle what a media personality says, and we decide to throw rocks at them. Now, there's a difference between not agreeing what a person says and then a person just saying things out of their ass, thinking that, well, let me just get everybody riled up. You know what I mean? But Dennis Eckersley was never either of those guys. And I loved his honesty, his opinion. This was someone who absolutely been through it all in life and in baseball. Dennis Eckersley, we all know that he's one of the greatest closers of all time. And in fact, he was a pretty good starter before he made the move to the bullpen. Yet, Dennis Eckersley on the baseball mound, we all know that he's remembered for the home run he gave up to Kirk Gibson in game one of the 1988 World Series. And we all know how, you know, Dennis Eckersley, he's done tremendous work nationally for baseball on TBS and so forth. And it's something that I have enjoyed. And it really was such a devastating blow to the broadcasting world, especially here in Boston, because Dennis Eckersley is really one of the last dying guard of a certain particular generation in which he played. I think of Tommy Heinsohn, the late Tommy Heinsohn. I think of the late Jerry Remy, who just passed away last October. And now Dennis Eckersley is gone at the end of the season. I'm telling you, it's a really interesting time where everything's changing. You know, there's very few times where everything remains a constant in sports. You know, people move on. People want to, you know, do different things in life, and priorities change, and that's okay. It happens. But I do know this, though. I do know that come next season, there is going to be a need for someone to step into that number one role. I'm willing to bank money on that. There is going to be a need. Whether if Nesson steps up and says, you know what, we are going to make someone the number one guy to work alongside with Dave O'Brien, the play-by-play voice of the Red Sox, on Nesson, or we're going to continue this carousel of analysts between Kevin Youkilis, Will Middlebrooks, or 985 The Sports Hub, Tony Maserati. That remains to be seen. And I'm actually curious to see how it all unfolds, because, like, unbiasedly speaking, if I had a pick between one of those three, between Youkilis, Middlebrooks, and Maserati, I'd go with Maz. I really would. This is just my personal opinion. If I had a vetting hand in this process, beginning next season, I would have Tony Maz doing a lot of the games for Nasson as a color guy. And if you have an opinion on this, because I'm sure Red Sox fans like are really particularly passionate when it comes to the broadcast and so forth, and I love that. Call into the program, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. In which that, I got a few more minutes left. I'm out of here at 7. That is when Horns of Plenty will be joining or taking over the airwaves. But I am of those in which that I recognize that a lot has been changing or has gone on with Nesson in terms of the broadcast over the last few years. I mean, it has, especially in the Red Sox side of things. We do know that with Jerry Remy now gone, unfortunately, and may his memory forever remain a source of joy for all of us, it feels like a shifting guard in terms of the color guy for Nesson on the Red Sox broadcast. I mean, there's no downplaying or undermining or minimizing just how important Dennis Eckersley is to the millions of Red Sox fans who watch the games and to Red Sox Nation. So, with a few minutes left remaining in the program, I'll pose to you this question. If you had to decide moving forward for 2023, who would you want to see in the booth? Who would it be? I already gave you minds. I really would like to see Tony Mass be that guy. I really do. But if you had to choose as to who would be that number one analyst for Nesson moving forward for next season, who do you want that guy to be? So, with Dennis Eckersley leaving, I mean, I'm sure he has had some memorable moments in the booth or in studio. I mean, who could forget the time that he absolutely ripped Wade Miley for basically giving former manager John Farrell an attitude after being yanked from a start? I'm pretty sure a lot of people remember that. And that moment was just downright, yes, I need more of that. A former player ripping a player when it's deserved. I need that more. Give me more of that, please. I don't think I'm asking for too much, am I? No. I don't think so. But Dennis Eckersley, you're going to be missed, man. And I wish you absolutely nothing but the best in the next phase of life that you're about to enter as you move to the Bay Area to spend more time with your grandkids. That's always a beautiful thing. So it's now 6:54. We got roughly 5 more minutes remaining in the show. And I figure I do this segment because I have not done this in a long, long time. And for those of you who've listened to my show in the past, and those who know best what I typically would do, I would typically do what is called final thoughts. It's been a while since I've done this, but I figure now would be a good time. So without further ado, it's time for the final thoughts with yours truly, Shukri Wright, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And that is, with the Red Sox losing Dennis Eckersley at the end of the season, what do you think the future of the Boston Red Sox broadcast booth will look like? Because I just have this feeling that, as I said a few minutes ago, that there is changes that are coming. What they will look like, I don't know. I'm not one who could predict that far into the future, but you could feel that there's a shift changing. There's a change coming. In what regard? I don't know. Dennis Eckersley is gone. What will the change look like in terms of the analyst role? How will that, play its part over with Nesson. Only time will tell. Now, the next thought that I do have to wrap up the program, and that is, how excited are you for the start of the NFL season? I mean, this season is going to be absolutely spectacular. So many wonderful headlines, so many storylines yet to be unraveled. And I just have this funny feeling that we're going to be in for a wild ride. Preseason games, week one, starts this week. Full slate of NFL preseason games. You're excited? I'm excited. I'm fired up. It's the NFL, baby. I mean, what more can you possibly ask for? So, when we talk about the NFL and the season getting underway, of course you think about the teams that have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Will it be their year? The Rams are the defending Super Bowl champions. But the elbow, it is a concern for Matthew Stafford. Will it hold up? We shall see how it all plays out. And then lastly, before I wrap this up for the evening, I always have been a big believer in what you ultimately decide to do now impacts your future. There was a report that came out earlier today in which that the Celtics, the Heat, and the Raptors are still in on the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. For the love of all things that is good, to the Boston Celtics, do not trade away Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. Don't do it. Don't do it. It would be a colossal mistake on your part to trade away Jaylen Brown now. Yes, you wonder whether if Jaylen Brown is going to be a flight risk in a couple of years. Well, we don't know. But trading what you have now for something that looks good, but it's only as good as fool's gold, it's just bad optics and it's just a bad idea. I wouldn't do it if I were you. So don't do it, please. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show. 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. It has been an absolute blast to be here with you this afternoon. Horns of Plenty is coming up next from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Do not go anywhere. Do not even turn that dial. I'll be back here with you in very short order. I'll announce it on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Shukri Wright. That's at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. That's how you can follow me on Twitter for the latest updates regarding when I'm on the air outside of my regular slot from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Mondays. So, that's going to wrap it up for me. This is Shukri Wright saying peace. I'll talk to you guys later. Enjoy the rest of your night.